It's nuts how fast a video goes out. Like the cactus video that I did, I posted that and I woke up the next morning to 250,000 new followers. And I was like, hello?
Welcome back to another episode of Influencer Business. I'm your host, Rich Scudellari. Very excited to have you with us here today. I hope you're staying safe and hope you're doing as well as possible. We have a great episode lined up for you today. We are sitting down with Christine Snaps. She is a TikToker, YouTuber, Instagrammer, content creator, and comedian. She is probably best known for her work on TikTok, where she went viral, accumulating over 1 million followers in less than 7 days. Just an incredible story. We'll get into that. An awesome conversation with her, talking about what it's like to kind of get big and go viral overnight, what she's done since, and how she got here. Really great conversation. Looking forward to that. But before we get to our conversation with Christine, first, this episode is being brought to you by ShopStyle. If you are an influencer, you need to check them out. You can earn more with ShopStyle Collective, the most transparent influencer network in the business. Their easy-to-use platform powers your passion, giving you access to over 1,600 supported brands and retailers, sponsored campaign opportunities, actionable data insights, and the tools to help you succeed. With their CPA cost per acquisition structure, you earn a percentage of every sale that you drive. So ShopStyle Collective, they offer a higher revenue share than any other platform, and their transparent analytics allow you to know your true earning potential upfront and help you make the right decisions for your content and for your business. They have tools for every platform, blog, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, all of them. So start monetizing your content today. Apply now at ShopStyleCollective.com. And if you're a brand or an agency, visit connect.shopstylecollective.com to learn more about how ShopStyle Collective can help your business drive scale as your full-service influencer marketing partner. Also, as a quick reminder, if you like what you hear on the podcast, go leave us that 5-star rating, leave us a glowing review. We really do appreciate it and it certainly does help. But with that out of the way, we're so excited to welcome Christine to the podcast. Christine, thanks for joining us today on Influencer Business.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we dive into TikTok, YouTube, Alloy, give us a little background on yourself.
Okay. My name is Christine, but the internet knows me as Christine Snaps, and I make comedic videos. And I always have. Before the whole TikTok, I guess, fame sort of thing happened with me, I used to make comedic videos, just kind of short 10-second clips on Snapchat, just for my friends, people who like actually knew me, not to the public. But yeah, I had been making videos like that for Snapchat for years, probably. I don't even know when it came out, but probably when I was like at the end of high school into college. That was like a way that I made friends, was like, oh, you got to check out Christine's, you know, Christine's doing weird stuff in her dorm room at 2 a.m. Like, you got to check her out. So I would,
that's make, how you make
I
friends.
Would make, yes. Yeah. A lot. Well, even sometimes back then it would be random people would be like, oh, me and my husband sit and watch you in bed at night. And I'm like, that's kind of weird, but like as okay. Like I said, that's what you do before you go to bed is you watch my Snapchat story. That's fine. But after that, my coworkers at my job right now, they're like, you need to get on TikTok. Like there's funny videos on here. So I just started uploading my Snapchats to TikTok and then they just blew up. Like I had no control over any of that, but they blew up and now I primarily make videos for like TikTok and YouTube.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you were talking about being in college, sharing these Snapchats. You actually studied TV, film, and radio in college, right?
Yeah, I did. I went to the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. They have an amazing, the whole major is wrapped up like radio, TV, and film. They're all wrapped into one. So it's a lot of behind
threat,
the scenes.
As you say.
The triple threat, yeah. But you learn a little bit of everything, which is why I loved going there. And they threw you in like right away. If you wanted to hold a camera your first day, they were going to let you, which scared me. And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I just kind of want to learn. But yeah, you learn like TV production, how to, I produced a couple, you know, like award-winning like TV shows for college. I ran like my own radio hour at the station. Like you learned everything behind the scenes over there, but my Snapchats were always something different. I never really brought any of that to the school and was like, hey, you guys, I make comedy videos. That was always just like my stress reliever at the end of the day. I was like, and now I'm at my house and now I'm like, now I'm going to be goofy and funny, which I I mean, obviously going to school helped. It helped me learn how to edit. It helped me learn how to like the importance of lighting, like stuff like that. But yeah, I went to school for that. And my emphasis was always to be a comedy sitcom writer or work in the comedy space somehow. I always thought it would be behind the scenes more. Okay. Just because I didn't have a platform like TikTok to be like, well, I guess everyone wants to see my face. So my career goals were always behind the scenes, and it's still kind of on the table. Like I would love to write for a sitcom or do something like that. I just don't with TikTok blowing up and the videos getting so big, I'm like, well, maybe I should just perform my own comedy. Like, I guess it can't hurt, you know?
Absolutely. So. No, that's great. Well, I want to dig into that a little bit, the crossover between kind of this new media and traditional media and traditional entertainment. But first, clearly there's something that got you excited about being in comedy. And it sounds like TV sitcoms in particular, where there are a couple of shows that you loved growing up that kind of fueled that fire.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, I just have always loved comedy. It's not even in a sitcom sense. I just figured, you know, where do I see the most comedy? It's on TV shows, it's on movies. But I've always loved stand-up comedians like John Mulaney, you know, Sebastian Maniscalco. Like, he's kind of from the Chicago suburbs like me. Just I love stand-up. I love that one person can take command of a whole room of people. And just being themselves is what's funny. Or like the art of telling a good story, like nothing beats a good story in front of a bunch of people where everyone's eyes are on you and you hit a punchline or you hit that facial expression, and it gets people going. So I don't even know if it's necessarily like a sitcom or a TV show that really hooked me. I mean, obviously comedians that were on sitcoms and TV shows obviously attracted me, but I've always loved stand up. I'm a huge podcast junkie. I listen to a bunch of comedians doing podcasts and stuff. I love the, it's so cheesy, but I love to laugh. And I think if you can make yourself laugh, that's more important than almost anything. Like sometimes I just like start giggling for no reason about dumb stuff. And it's just in my head and people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I just think whatever's going on is pretty funny. So comedy has always been, or like a Chris Farley, Jim Carrey type, where they're so physical. It's like they're not even saying anything. They just threw themselves on a table. And I'm like, it's so freeing to watch. So I've always been a huge fan of comedy, and I'm so glad that people think I'm funny. 'Cause I'm like, okay, like I'm like following my heroes over here.
Right. But even though that really spoke to you early on, you never thought about a career in front of the camera. It was always kind of like, I want to be behind the camera.
Yeah, I think as far as I thought about performing my own comedy or what I thought was funny, I did think stand-up was the only way to do that. I never saw myself with a career on like YouTube or something, because it's super long form. I thought it was more like a vlog type of situation, but I always thought it was stand-up. And I did stand-up a couple times in college. But I do have a little bit of stage fright. It's like I black out when I get up there, and I'll just start rambling, and I can't take the second that I do when I film my videos to be like, is that how I wanted to say that? Like, is that the expression that I wanted to use? You know, it's beyond live. It's the pressure of people constantly critiquing you, like, well, you better make me laugh or whatnot. So I thought stand up was going to be the route, and it's still a possibility. I think as I get more comfortable. You know, it's always a possibility, and I'd love to try it again and dip my toes in again. But yeah, I just thought like TV show writing or like writing for comedians behind the scenes would be, you know, the way to go. But as I develop my own voice, I'm like, well, it's funny to me because it's the way that I say it. If I gave one of my videos to somebody else and I was like, here, this is the script. I mean, who knows if it would still be funny. So,
right. Yeah. They couldn't bring it to life the same way you do. But it's interesting because, you know, you look at stand-up comedy and you think, okay, these guys have to, and these women have to be good on their feet. And for the most part they are, but it's also rehearsed. And it's practiced and it's tested. And so when they film that Netflix special, they've already done it 100 times and they've practiced it even more than that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't necessarily have to, it probably just comes with practice.
Yeah, like hundreds of, because when I listened to, because as I started listening to more podcasts that were, that came from comedians, they're like, well, you know, I've been working on this set for my Netflix special for the past year and a half. I've been shopping it around. Right. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I still don't, because if anybody went to a stand-up show like once a year, well, saw one comedian once a year, you're like, oh, this is always new material. But to them, right. they're like, they perform this 5 different locations tonight. Which you never yep. understand unless you're the one doing it. But I'm like, yeah, that does make sense. Like, it's not off the top of their head. And some of them are, like a Dave Chappelle, he'll, yeah. you know, he writes as he goes. Like, there's sometimes yeah. he just walks out and starts talking. But I mean, he's mm-hmm. a comedic genius. Like, that's a little different. Right. But most of them, yeah, it's pretty rehearsed. But I think the live aspect of, you know, just plain old nerves of being in front of right. live people yeah. and their reaction always gets me a little bit.
But the return on that investment is high because you get the real time impact of yeah. laughs. And you're almost getting that on TikTok though, with views, likes, comments. Like, there is an element of that. It's not real time, but it's, you know, it's pretty close to that.
It's nuts how fast a video goes out, especially if yeah. it hits, like the cactus yeah. video that I did that made me blow up and that made me, how everyone mm-hmm. knows who I am. That I posted that and I woke up the next morning to 250,000 new followers. Yeah. And I was like, hello, like who are all you people, you know, in the, and that
how many
video,
did you have before that? You went up 250,000, but
I think 20, I had 20, 20, no, 20,000, 20,000.
Oh, 20,000. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. 20 would be, I had a video before the cactus one that kind of went viral. I mean, that's so lame for me to say. It went viral, cut a couple million on it, but it, but nothing
is
really came of it.
The walkie-talkie
video? The which one?
Is this one of the walkie-talkie?
No, my walkie-talkie video. See, so I do this. I did like a series of those were purely Snapchat. It's one take Snapchat and I just yeah. sent it, didn't think about it. So the walkie-talkie ones, I bought a fake walkie-talkie from the dollar store because I walked in and I was like, that looks like that could be funny. So I bought a walkie-talkie,
which
taped it to my shoulder.
Is how you did the cactus video too, right?
Yes.
You walked into Walmart and said, that's my cactus. So is this what you
randomly
do? You walk into stores and say, yeah, that's interesting. Let's see what we can
yeah,
do with that.
It's the, just, yeah, to back up the way that I cannot explain to you how my brain thinks of videos. I get comments all the time, like, how do you come up with this? And I don't know. It really comes out of nowhere. Like, I was on a phone call with my friend one time and I was like, sorry, I gotta go. I just wrote a whole TikTok in my head. I just gotta do this real quick. And then I'll jump back on a call. And that one I did like in one take. But yeah, the cactus to Alloy, the cactus that I bought from Walmart that blew up on TikTok, it has like 35 million views right now. Which is, I cannot believe that I filmed that in my bathroom, looking back mm-hmm. on it, because yeah. 35 million people, or at least a couple million, have seen my bathroom, which is kind of embarrassing. But yeah, I went to Walmart with my friend. We always go late at night because there's no one there. We can just kind of talk and just walk around. And she's like, let's go to the
clearance
section.
Be clear.
This is like beginning of February. So then she's like, let's go to the clearance section, because there's always the funniest things in the clearance section. It's like they have like mini blow torches that are like 50 cents. I'm like, why are these readily available? So we go to the plant section, and there's three little cactuses just sitting randomly on a shelf. And I'm very like, I have to pick things up. I just picked it up and I was like, I'll just buy this. And she's like, no. You don't need a cactus. You don't know how to take care of plants. You don't need to waste your money on that. She's like, put it back. And I was like, oh, she's so right. Like, this is like voice of reason. So I put it down. We walk around. We pass the shelf again. And I pick it up. Like, I'm like a klepto. Like, just picked it right back up. And I was like, I just got to buy it. I know you don't understand, but I need this cactus. And then she's like, okay. So I went home that night and filmed the video in my bathroom at like 11 at night. I usually don't film that late. And that video that I posted on TikTok was the first time I used TikTok to edit a video. Like, that's like the first time I actually tried to edit different clips together.
Sure.
And then
I've heard that's one of the tricks to TikTok.
I don't know. Maybe I should do that more. But I mean, I edited it together and I posted it that night. And then, like I said, I woke up the next morning and it had blown up beyond my control. Like, it was on Facebook and I didn't put it there. It was on Reddit.
The single best purchase you've ever made in your life.
Honestly, I have the receipt still. It was $3.47, and that changed my life. And I can't believe that a cactus did all that, but I am forever grateful.
Thank you. So you gave him a name. I think it's a him. I shouldn't presume, but I've heard you talk about him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a him either. I barely know anything about plants. I think it's a, I don't even know if plants have gender. I'm sure they do. It's a boy. His name's Alloy, because in the video I pronounced allow water, and I pronounced it like Alloy. And I was like, well, that's his name now. Like, I don't care what anybody else says. But yeah.
Yeah. And you've been able to take care of him. You built a nice little life for him even.
A whole crib on the back shelf of my bathroom. Right. And he's got, I went to the dollar store again, bought a whole bunch of stuff for him, a house. His first girlfriend was some random statue, unicorn statue I found in my room, that someone had given me along the way. But yeah, I made a whole crib for him. He has like a hanging pot that he could sit in if he wants to. And I just like went super overboard. I was like, if y'all like a cactus, I'm going to make a whole life for this cactus. Like, he's going to have friends. Someone else shipped me a girlfriend for him. It's a fake cactus, but she like put a purse and big lips on. I was like, I'll go for it. If you guys want cactus content, we'll go for it. I have no problem.
And here you are sitting in front of a big ass cactus right behind you.
I know. And that one. So I made a video about, I don't even know where that video came from. Someone brought to my attention as soon as the first cactus video came out. They're like, well, you know, National Cactus Day is in May. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to make a video. So immediately my brain goes to, oh, we need a 6 foot tall wooden cactus. That's what I need.
There's no in between either a mini cactus or a 6 foot tall wooden cactus.
Oh yeah. I was like, what would be so eye catching? So I of course recruited my dad. I was like, you think you could make me a 6 foot tall cactus? He's like, why? And I'm like, it's just for a video. Like, no big deal.
I'm famous, Dad? Excuse me. Do you know I'm famous now? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I remember sitting them down after the first cactus video went out. And I said, I think the video had a couple million views and I had 400,000 followers then. And I sat them down and I was like, I just need to tell you so you know. So that
they're not on TikTok.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no, they're not on like any, they weren't on any social media. Now they have everything to keep track of me. But they're like, I was like, just so, I was like, just so you know. And I was like, a lot of people like know who I am now. Like, not like I'm famous, but I was like, and at the time I was like, nothing's going to come of it. I just want you to know that if anybody asks you about me, tell them nothing. I don't want them to know anything. And they're like, and they did not see the deal. My dad's like, so what? And I was like, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to put our address in the videos. I'm going to try and not show like too much of our house. And he's like, why? He's like, who cares if people know where we live? And I was like, who cares if people, I was like, okay, you're not getting it. And I was like, it's only going to get bigger. I was like, so we need a game plan. Like, we don't talk about it. We don't like show the house, you know? I was like, I feel like I'm the only one who knows this, like who like is worried about what's going to happen. And they were so
chill.
They're like,
the only adult in the room.
Yeah. They did not get social media.
Yeah. Because most people, when it comes to the internet in their, I'm assuming their age demographic is, you know, I don't know, 50 plus, is that a safe assumption? Yeah. So most people in that demographic, when it comes to new social media platforms, like, oh, don't have your information out there. You don't want, you know, and they're super private and super secure. And your parents are like, meh, who cares? Like,
yeah, they're so far removed. They're like, who's going to come to our house? They're like, who cares if people come to our house? I was like, who cares if people come? I was like, I kind of care. Like, I don't really want strangers on our front lawn or like asking for me. He's like, okay. He's like, all right. I was like, oh my God, Dad.
That is awesome. Oh, that's so incredible. Random. So you had this video go viral with Alloy the Cactus. You've leaned heavily into cactus content since, but you haven't been one-dimensional. We haven't seen as many walkie-talkie videos for sure, but we've seen a lot of different, a lot of different content come out. Was it weird to have that notoriety come so quickly? Because it's not like you had no followers. You had 20,000 followers on TikTok, but you know, 20,000 followers on TikTok, I think, is very different than 20,000 followers on Instagram or 20,000 subscribers on YouTube. So you had like a little taste, but it shot off, you know, really quickly. Has that like affected how you think about this? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think I kind of kept like a journal because I was like, I'm never going to remember everything that's happening. And I wrote it down. In 7 days, I had 1 million followers. Jeez. And I didn't understand TikTok really. I think I looked back, I had posted like 50 videos before that, but they were just random one-off videos, maybe even like a couple years old, and I thought they might be kind of funny. So I put them on there, but that's the one that blew up. And I mean, 1 million followers in 7 days. I didn't know what to do with myself. Obviously try and make more videos, try and make some that hit again or do well. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was texting my friends and I was like, this is such a fluke. And I was like, there's no way. And I was like, people go viral on here all the time. The more I did my research, I was like, people go viral all the time. This is a fluke. Like, I really don't see this going anywhere. Like, I kind of felt like I didn't deserve it in the respect of like, people are like killing themselves trying to make these videos every day. And I just make a random one and it pops off. And now all these people are like, oh, we love you. Be my best friend. And I'm like, it's so nuts. And it happens so quickly. I still, to this day, sometimes like take a step back from what I'm doing. And I was like, someone's going to like take my account away. Like, this is a fluke, you know, this is all going to end tomorrow. This is all going to end tomorrow. And I can't even be mad because it's like, you know, this was given to you. And TikTok works weird. TikTok is, the algorithm on TikTok is so, I don't know if it's super complicated or it's just like such a big secret that no one can exactly figure out like when to post your videos, what to hashtag, how long they should be. But I know that when you post a video that TikTok will send it out to a batch of people. And then if they watch so many seconds of it, like the more they watch of the video, the more it gets spread. So if people watch 2 seconds and just keep swiping, it won't go as far. So if I could turn around and hug the first 10 people who watched my video and said like, thank you, you changed my life, you're the reason all this happened, like I would. But I mean, and then after the video like went off like that, I have a whole book of video ideas. I always have of TikToks and comedy skits or whatever they are. So I was like, all right, like, let's just buckle down. I was like, let's buckle down. And I was like, let's just put out one a day. That's what I try and do. I'm like, let's just try and film and edit. And I'm not super good on jumping on the trends of TikTok because I just don't see them. I have like, my brain is off on its own little tangent that I just pump out what I have to do. But I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, my friends on my Snapchat were always like, you're funny. Like you should do this. Like you should get a YouTube channel. But for it to happen on TikTok, an app that I downloaded as a joke, because it used to be Musical.ly, it used to be like all primarily dancing, lip syncing. Yep. And I was like, that's just not my bag. Like I like comedy videos. I like short clips. I like real life. But it's just nuts. I just constantly think someone's going to be like, this is a fluke. Who is this
just
girl?
Just kidding.
And I'm like, all right, like I'm going to ride this as long as I can because I love making videos. It's not, the other part of it is I don't necessarily think every video is funny. I just have to make them. Like something in my brain is like, you have to make this video. And if you don't make it, we're going to make it tomorrow because it's just my to-do list of things to do. It's like, oh, make that video about that thing. Like that was kind of funny. you know, but I always say as long as other people want to watch the videos and enjoy watching them, then I'll keep making them. Like that's just the deal.
Yeah, that's just the deal. I think it's great too, because you literally were making these videos when nobody was watching. And now you're making them, it's the same stuff, just people are watching, you know, I think that's really important is, you know, a lot of people try to get into this to be famous or to be big or to, you know, make money. And that's not, you know, if you don't have that kind of desire, that initial fire to do it, it becomes hard to sustain, you know, but it sounds like you still, I mean, how many chapters into this book of ideas are you right now? Are you still early days?
Well, honestly, so I have the book. I'm a big list person. I got sticky notes everywhere. That's kind of how I work. But I have a book of ideas. But then I also have like a notepad that I keep with me constantly. And I keep working off the notepad. I haven't even dug into the book that much. So
you got years of content coming.
Hopefully. I hope I don't hit like a writer's block or something. But I mean, they're there. I just have to dive into them. But the fame, I guess you could call it, it has not changed how I make the videos or how I come up with them. It has never really influenced how I do that. I've always just kind of done what I think would make a good video. And I just put it out there. And I don't do, besides the 6 foot tall cactus, like I'm not doing big productions. I go to the dollar store and I'm like, okay, I need this, this, and this for a video. And then I walk out with 20 items and I'm like, well, all of these are going in a video. Like I primarily work on like zero to like a dollar budget. And it's just, I just try and make a video that's like well-rounded, like tells a simple story. And then I just post it and I'm like, if you guys like it, cool. If not, I don't know. Yeah. And the next one will be up tomorrow, I guess.
I think this is a great illustration of what has become kind of the social media landscape. There are a lot of folks out there who think that you need a lot of expensive equipment, a lot of great editing techniques, a lot of this, a lot of that. The reality is you don't. If it's good content, people will watch it. Doesn't matter if it's a grainy clip edited in iMovie or just edited right on the TikTok app. Good content will rise to the top, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. I think that's really important.
Yeah, there's a quote on my wall. I don't know where it is right now because it's buried in a sea of sticky notes, but it's something like, start where you are, use what you have. And then there's a third line too, and I can't remember, but it's like, that's so true. Like it's, TikToks don't have to be this big production. And some of them are, and they're super eye-catching, and that's why they blow up. It's like, look how much effort someone put into this. And then other ones, it's like a 3 second clip of someone falling. That blows up. It's like whatever makes you feel good or catches your eye. And I did a series on my Instagram of doing like live interviews, kind of like a podcast, but it's just like a short live interview of other TikTok creators that I follow. And they were primarily just creative people, artists, photographers. The one lady does like special effects makeup. And it was just, you know, TikTok is more than just let's hit a viral video. Let's do dancing. Let's do this. There's like singers. There's so many creative people that I found on the app that I'm so thankful for, because I mean, I never would have discovered any of these people in such a short form. And there was Vine. Vine was a thing back in the day, but 6 seconds. That's why I never hopped on Vine. I can't do anything in 6 seconds.
Oh, I was a big consumer of Vine. I loved Vine.
I loved watching it.
Yeah. What I love are these kind of restrictions put on people, because it pushes creativity, you know? And so how creative especially, can you get in 7 seconds?
Yeah. And then that's why, no, I loved Vine. I don't get me wrong. I loved it. But as me as a creator, I was like, I could never hop on this, you know?
For sure.
So it just wasn't my bag. But at the same time, to transition, everyone I talked to is like, you got to get into YouTube, got to start building a YouTube platform. And I'm like, okay, well, my brain pretty much primarily works in 1 minute segments. Like I could cap it at a minute, you know? And then to go to YouTube and be like, okay, well, do a 15-minute video. Hope all of it's funny. And I'm like, okay, do people want to see 15 minutes of me just like hitting a bit and like trying to make you laugh? Or do you want to see more? Like I just filmed a video about cleaning out my car and all the junk that I have in my car. And I was like, is all of it funny? This is more about me. This is like such an insight into my life of like, what do I keep in my middle console? You know, that's why I've been trying to,
I've done some weird stuff. Cue the dramatic music. What does Kristen have in her middle console?
There's some weird stuff in there, but you know, TikTok is weird in the respect of, you know, you're seeing 1 minute clips. And if you want all of your videos to do good in a sense, like you're just learning 1 minute at a time something about that person. And if their video is like mine, sometimes it's like a character. You're not learning anything about me in that minute. You're like, oh, she put on like I put like grandma makeup on for one. And I was like, yeah, that has nothing to do with me.
That was a really solid character. That was good. That was
good. Thanks. But you know, TikTok is weird like that. So as you branch out to other platforms like Instagram, I think my Snapchat, I have a public Snapchat now. I think my Snapchat's the most raw. If you want to see like the most raw of me being like, it's 6 a.m. I just like, tripped and fell into my car, you know, like I'm just like rambling. That's where I'm most like raw. That's where you're going to get most about who I am. And I'm not trying to make you laugh every second, but YouTube is a platform. Even though I've watched YouTube for years of other people, YouTube and me, I still have to wrap my brain around it. Is if people are coming from my TikTok to my YouTube, they just want to see more of me, even if it's not me cracking a joke every 10 seconds. Maybe they just want to see, you know, how my office looks, because you never get to see the 360, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. It's just, it's, as I expand and learn more about social media and get other platforms, I'm really trying to figure out like what should live on this platform, what should live on my Snapchat. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difficult playground to try and maneuver in. But at the same time, because I have 3 million people watching me on my TikToks, it's like you don't want to overstep or lead people in the wrong direction and make the profile something it's not.
Sure. You know? And how do you think about it in the context of a larger goal, right? So you've got all of these different platforms going, right? That's a lot of content to be producing, right? Snapchat, we talked about Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. How do you think about that in the context of a larger goal? Do you have a plan, a strategy, or is it still kind of like, let's feel out what these platforms are going to be for me as a creator and then go from there?
Yeah, I think, oh, that's such a good question. I get that question all the time and I don't, there's some people in life who are so career goal oriented. They're like, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been so back and forth with what I want to do. And since the video hit in February, it's been we're going on 4 months.
You haven't figured out your life in those 4 months?
Yeah. I was like, for basically almost everything.
Pandemic and,
yes. You know. Yeah. For everything to change in 4 months, I'm like, I don't know what the end goal is. Cause I'm still trying to, like I said, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the point of like, should I write comedy or should I be the face of my comedy? Or can I do both somehow? I haven't figured it out. You know, I'm still trying to get my feet on the ground. I still live with my parents. Like after college, I moved back in with my parents. Like I'm drowning in student loan debt. Like I'm just a normal person. And now that I have all this platform and everyone's like, well, you could go 1,000 different directions. I'm like, yeah, I wish I knew which direction though I should be going in. I think as I'm just going to keep making videos on TikTok as I expand into YouTube, because I really do want to use the YouTube platform and I just have to wrap my head around and figure out what I want to do.
Sure. With my channel. No rush, right?
Yeah, there really isn't. But at the same time,
you're 25 years old.
Yeah. You're right? Good. Constantly I'm just like, should I have it, you know, by 25, on a regular basis, if none of this would have happened, by 25, like I should have somewhat of a plan or like a direction.
I disagree.
No, you don't think so?
I think generally everybody feels like they should at 25. Everybody feels like after college they should have a direction or whatnot, at least and I see it as a general framework for the next short term, right? And then maybe you have some medium and long term goals, but those are maybe more generic, right? And, you know, hey, I want to have a family, or hey, I want to live in this country, or you know, a variety of different maybe long term goals. But the reality is we're still young and learning. You know, I'm 32 and I still am not sure how my life is going to end up. You know, I like the path that I'm on. I have kind of general long-term goals, but I think people get too focused on rushing it. And there are a lot of things that you can do that are good, but I think that people should be more patient about the long-term, as long as you're being productive and moving you're learning a lot of skills right now. You're building an audience. That's not going to hurt you in the long-term, right? You're not going backwards. You're going forwards. Maybe you don't have the perfect path laid out. Nobody does though.
Yeah. That's such a good point. Yeah. Cause now that you say that, like people always joke about it or comment on it now, but they're like, for you to be 18 and for people to be like, oh, so you're going to pick a major and then that's what you're going to do in college. And then that's what you're going to do the rest of your life. Looking back on that now, I'm like, I didn't have a clue back then and I don't super have a clue right now, but I was like, how would I at 18 make a decision like that? Like,
you have no information. You have nothing to go on.
Nothing. Yeah. Now, you know, the more that but you can always look back on that once you get older. So I'm sure when I'm like, in 5 years from now, I'll look back and I'll be like, why did I think I needed a plan? Like, especially if life's going to throw at me a viral TikTok and it's going to change my trajectory. I'm like, why did you ever, in 5 years, I'm going to be like, why did you ever think you needed a plan? Like life, you know, life was like, that's a joke in itself. Like you should make a video about that. Like we're going to throw a whole bunch of stuff at you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. I guess.
If you need to take a minute away from the podcast to write that down, I'm all for it.
I'll keep it up here. I'll keep it in my brain.
lock it away. Yeah. No, yeah. I think the most important thing, particularly for a creative at this point in their life, is to make sure that they're experimenting with stuff. And I think, like you have done, you just don't know what's going to hit. You don't know what's going to really resonate with you. And so as long as you're putting out these small experiments, right? And you're moving in the proper direction. You know, you can't be, there has to come a time where you reevaluate things and say, okay, this is where I need to be. And everybody's got bills, loans, all sorts of things to think about. But if you're moving in that direction, being, you know, and producing these experiments, I think you'll end up in the right direction, if, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, hopefully. that's what I'm hoping for. If I just put my, you know, I'm a big believer in nothing is given, it's earned. So yeah. When all this happened, I was like, well, I didn't even like earn this. But then if you really want to die, but then, you know, it's just that Midwestern like humbleness. You're like, yep. put your foot to the grindstone. But it's, right. it's just like, if they're going to give you all these followers, I'm like, well, I didn't earn that. I put one video out and but then at the same time, I'm like, but I've been making these videos forever.
That's right.
So if you really want to dive into it, it's like, no, I didn't just randomly do that. That was, my brain tells me that that would be a good video. My brain tells me, or the creative side goes, you know, just film it. Just put it up there. Couldn't hurt. That's what you've seen on TikTok. Make a video like that. Or, you know, talk about something that everyone loves cactuses. Apparently now I know that, but you know, your brain's just like, just do it. So I never want to, you know, crush my creative side of my brain. I always try and let myself, you know, if I have an idea, I write it down. If it doesn't make a video, there's plenty of videos, especially with that, the grandma. So yeah. I don't, my videos take like primarily, depends on what I'm talking about. Primarily, I don't do them in one take because I get really tongue tied because I have so much to say and I talk fast and I know it has to hit in a minute. So I'll cut my stuff together. So usually it takes maybe 20 minutes to film and then another like 15, 20 to edit. But I did a series of like, I just in like grandma makeup, I did an old deer costume like I had, and then I did a blue verification check mark.
That's spoof. My favorite. We're going to get to that in a minute.
Well, I did all of those, stuff like that. I had planned that out for a weekend. My parents are like, we're going out of town. I was like, great. I'm going to walk around the house in a grandma costume and I don't have to hear any like, what are you doing questions. So those videos, I filmed that within like 3 days because I had to put the makeup on and I filmed like a behind the scenes YouTube video for it and stuff. But a video like that took so long, and half the videos I made with those costumes never made it because I just didn't see, I didn't see that they were hitting well enough. I was like, this is just, it's a waste of a minute. I mean, I might bring them back at some time to be like nostalgic, but I mean, those took forever. And I like that TikTok does make you think in a faster form of content. So the longer something takes, how long those videos took. And I even did the blue check mark backwards at the end. And I was like, oh my, you know, so how long they take, the shorter and the quicker that content can go out, I like, because the longer it takes and the more I have to put into it, it kills my creativity. Where I'm like, well, now I put the blue check mark on backwards. Like, do we even finish the video? And then I'm like, it might be even funnier that it's backwards. So you just go for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. And, you know, it's interesting. You never know where that creativity is going to come from. You never know how it's going to play out, but putting out that content and getting that feedback. And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, oh, I didn't earn this. I didn't earn all of these followers. I guarantee you that in your early days, when you were first on Snapchat, you had some embarrassing moments, things that you thought were funny that didn't quite hit with the folks. And it's all of that feedback over years and years that's refined your sense of humor. Right. And then all of a sudden you get this massive signal from the world saying, oh, by the way, you're funny. It's not a, hey, you know, like surprise, you know, nope. You've been cultivating this sense of humor for a while and you just had the opportunity, right place, right time. It hit and it happened to be an alloy cactus video. Right. It might have been, you know, it might have been a walkie-talkie video at some point. It might have been something else. It was just a matter of time. And I think for folks who are creative like yourself, there's, if you have the effort and if you have the drive and the nose to the grindstone mentality, it's just a matter of time until you get that signal. And, you know, you can say, oh, I didn't earn it, but I think the work you put in years prior is kind of what led to that moment.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah. It's just because everything's happened so fast. It really is. I still don't think I've processed everything.
You probably won't for a while.
There's no way. But yeah, I think one day I'm just going to be like crying in my car, I'm sure. Just like having a total breakdown. I don't know.
But I think the good thing is your reaction to that was, okay, let's continue to do what I've done and not deviating from that plan. maybe trying out more experimentation, which is good. A lot of people get locked in. They say, oh, this was okay. So I can only do cactus content now, or I can only do this now. You're open to expanding. And I think that's really important, because too often people think, oh, it's just this one thing, or it was the perfect formula. I've got to replicate that. No, that's not necessarily it for you. You're funny. Let's see how I can be funny across platforms.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Plus, like, again, the TikTok algorithm is weird. Just because one cactus video hit doesn't mean that the rest, every single cactus content will do great. It's more
right.
Like, you know, are you bringing the same level of funny or creativity to any subject
sure.
that you're talking about? You know, just random. I don't even remember half the videos that I've made, but just, mm-hmm. just random ones that I, people are like, you're so relatable. And I was like, I broke my mom's plate in the driveway. I was like, I never hear about it. I know. And I made a whole series about it. And I was like, right. I've never heard of anybody talking about breaking a plate by accident, you know? And yep. then everyone, I think what made that one relatable was, I can't tell you the amount of people that were like, I have these plates. These are in my cupboard right now. Like, I could send one to you. And people have. I have like 5 plates that people have sent me.
Are they exact matches or close?
Exact matches. You can get, they're from Walmart, which I didn't know either.
Found out later, yeah.
They're like $30 for a whole set. The whole set I could have replaced. And I was like, what? Like, in my brain, I was like, did I know that or did I not know that? Was I just going with it, or was I like, these are expensive? Like, because I knew she'd be a ticked a little bit. And I think the whole funny part of the video for me is like, I thought she didn't know. I thought she did not know. And I'm getting millions of views on these videos of breaking her plates. And she doesn't know. She literally, I got it on camera, but I never put it on TikTok. And I looked at her one day, because I think she saw a plate sitting. And I was like, do you know that I broke your plate? And she goes, oh yeah, I know. Oh yeah, I know about all of it. And I was like, oh my. And she pulled the classic line. She's like, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed you didn't tell me. And I was like, oh, like, and I was like, well, the video's got like a couple million views. I was like, I'm okay if you're disappointed. Like, we could live with that. I have no problem.
That's great. I want to dig into the verification video, because one of my favorite videos you've ever done is actually not that video. Like, I love those videos, but I actually love the being late for something on a call with your mom, having the camera placed in this funny, and then you zoom up onto your face after you've painted over the white check mark. So you got into costume and you're like, listen, I got to make the most out of this. So I'm going to do a few videos where I'm just blue faced. Right. And so you painted over the white check mark, or deleted the white check mark and then painted over it. And you have this one video where you talk about, you're on the phone with your mom and you're like, hey, I'm going to be late. Yeah. I'm kind of in the middle of something. And then you pan up and we see your blue face, and you were supposed to be there, you know, 10 minutes ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about the verification journey. And have you actually reached out? Have you, tell us a little bit about kind of there, you know, what is there right now?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, because everything's happened so just like the algorithm, I have no clue how TikTok verification works. Sure. I mean, I wouldn't know. So I believe you can reach out on TikTok and like send a submission like you would do on Instagram. I think you can, because I'm pretty sure I have, or there's no way to reach out except if you go through like a help center being like, hey, how come I'm not? But yeah. But then I'm like, I don't know why I am verified, like why I'm not verified, or why I would be. I mean, I have the followers, but is that the only criteria? Because I know sure. like musicians, even small musicians will hop on, and if they're verified on Instagram, they'll get verified on TikTok. So sure. I don't know how the cross platforms work. And, you know, it wasn't even me that brought it up. It was people commenting on my videos. They're like, how come you're not verified? Mm, and I've never been super concerned about it. Like, yeah, I'd like to get verified. That'd be kind of nice to write in my journal, like, today I got verified, but I'm not like dying. I just made a couple videos about it. Cause I was like, well, if no one's going to verify me, I'll verify myself. I'll paint my face blue and I'll stand in front of my profile and, you know, whatever. So,
right.
But I'm not like super, I'm not super obsessed with getting verified. It's just something, I think it's actually more funny the longer that I don't, and right, watch them yeah. turn around tomorrow and verify me. But I was like, I think more it's content. Longer to be like, it's almost like you're being the underdog. You're like, okay, I don't right. know if TikTok is like playing hard to get, but like if me and TikTok are in a relationship, like they're playing hard to get, and I'm all for it. Like I'll sit on this app as long as I can before I get verified. Cause I don't. Yeah. And then once I get verified, am I going to make a video about it and be like, well, I might as well delete my account now. Like I accomplished my goal, but yeah, no, I don't know how you do that on TikTok. And I thought maybe it was because when you break community guidelines or break copyright, I thought maybe if you do that enough, they're like, you can't get verified. You just keep breaking the rules. But I've only done it. Well, I've only broken the community guidelines once. And it was for, I think, a video like two after the cactus one. I did a video where I pretended I was lighting incense in my bathroom, but it was a sparkler. So TikTok took it down, and TikTok was like, you can't promote the use of fireworks to minors. And I was like, I wasn't going to fight it. And I was like, don't yell at me. I'm new on this app. So I took it down. But
you were probably thinking, oh crap, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot. I'm growing like a weed. And now they're just going to, you know, shadow ban my account.
Yeah. And I've heard people get shadow banned too. And I'm not even sure. I'm sure my account hasn't. Some videos don't do as well, but I'm like, that's not shadow banning. That's just more like the time of day or the wasn't following a trend or whatnot. But I mean, I don't know about the TikTok verification. I filmed another one. That's a little inside information. I filmed another video about like putting a TikTok blue check mark, like a huge one on my front lawn, being like, I'm going to verify my whole house is verified. And I never put it out because I couldn't edit it together the right way that I wanted to. And I thought maybe the joke was dying. But now I'm waiting for them not to ever verify me. And I could be that one creator where they're like, yeah, she blew up and everyone likes her, but you know, she's not verified. So like, she's the underdog. Like I don't, as far as like getting stuff that you don't earn, like I'm earning that blue check mark. When I get that, definitely. I'm going to feel so accomplished. I'm going to be like, I'm going to take the day off. Y'all not going to see me for a couple days. I'm just going to relax. I can't wait.
Basking in the blue check mark. That's awesome. Yeah, no, it'll come someday. Now you have had obviously the kind of meteoric rise that you've had has elicited some very interesting messages over the platform, some interesting fan interaction. You've put out a PO box number, curious the impetus behind that. And then I also want to get into like direct fan engagement, you know, messages, not only direct messages or comments, but also duets and video messages. But let's start with the PO box.
Okay, the PO box was, I don't, of all the goals that I had, I was like, my manager, my friend was like, you need goals. What's the short-term goals like as we're building? And I was like, I was like, I really want a PO box. Like I never get mail. I only get mail from my college saying, we need you to pay your, what are those called? Student loan bills. And from my bank saying, hey, you don't have any money. And I was like, I'm so depressed. I don't. And I was like, I just want someone to write me a letter. Like, I don't even care what it says. Just write me a letter from a state that I've never been and I'll be happy. And I open the PO box and I check it every day. And sometimes there's like, you know, 10 packages. And I'm like, where are these coming from? Who are these people? Why are you sending me stuff? But they send the funniest things. They get me like I wear a lot of tie-dye. Like I'm wearing tie-dye today. Tie-dye. I told people not to send me anything live or scary. And the amount of plants that I get in the mail, I'm like, I can't take care of all of these. And then I'm like struggling to find pots for them. And so I've gotten like six real plants in the mail.
Wow.
A bunch of like cacti plushies and like, you know, squeeze toys. People are so creative. They make me like I have a planter that says botanicologist on the side or t-shirts and people are so funny. I think the best thing I've ever gotten is Alloy's girlfriend, she's a fake. I'm pretty sure she's fake because I've never watered her. And like, she's like, she's not real, but it's part of, in the back of my brain. I'm like, oh, that's a real cactus. I have not. She sent me this lady and her son sent me a cactus, a quote unquote cactus. And the way that she decorated it, I can't see the pot. So I'm like, I don't think it's real. Like, we're just going to go with that. But she's decorated. She's got big lips. She's got a purse. Like, that was probably one of the best things I ever got. Cause it just, that set my brain on a spiral of creativity. I was like, well, now it's his girlfriend. Now we got to do a dating show. Now what if they get married? Like, we have to name her, like, you know. So that was a great gift that I got. Some of the ones that are scary are, what did I get? I got, one time I got, it was an envelope and all that was in there was just a little bell. Like, that's okay. It. And I don't know why it scared me, but I was like, this is just so random. Like, not even a note, nothing. And then another one was, someone sent me like a picture of a doll, and I don't like dolls, not a huge fan. But it was a picture of like dolls, but on the back, it was so sticky and it had like old tape residue on it. And the note was like, oh, I found this in a library book. I ripped it out. I'm sending it to you. Like, maybe it could go in Alloy's cactus crib. And I was like, why did you rip it out of a... I was like, isn't that illegal? And am I an accessory to a crime? Like, why are you ripping stuff out of library books? And I was like, and I don't like dolls. Like, I don't know where you got that from. And just weird, just sometimes such weird stuff, but I just roll with it. And I try and open most of it on camera on my YouTube.
Sure, yeah.
Just to say thanks. And also half the time I'm like, I have no clue what's in this box. Like, I'd rather all of us do this together than sure. Just me by myself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, oh, it's funny. And a lot of, you know, it's interesting. Like, the vast majority of things will be normal, interesting, kind of fun, kooky stuff. And then you'll just get one wall bizarre, like, what is this thinking?
And it's always the package. It's always the package you don't think it is. Like, oh, it's just an envelope. And then I'm like, no, it's not just an envelope.
That's great. Well, let's talk about the engagement on the platform. You've gotten some messages. You did a video about being
it was propositioned by a sugar daddy.
Did that actually happen?
Oh yeah. Well, I think after I made the video, I've gotten a lot more, and they always come through you can't message people on TikTok unless you're like mutual friends. And I don't think a lot of sugar daddies are making TikTok videos, but, a lot of Instagram DMs, and most of them are like, hey baby, or just random stuff. But the guy that I made the video about, like, sent me over the moon. He's like, I'll pay your utility bills. Like, so specific, my utility bills. Like, okay. And I was like, if anything, I would just need like cash. I don't know why utility bills is like your go-to line. Like, that's of course. And he was just so specific. And I was texted my friend, and I was like texting her the jokes as I was thinking, and I was like, I think I'm gonna make a video, because it's just so weird. Like, it's I mean a lot of people get those, but his was so specific, and I was like, I'm gonna put him on blast, even though no one knows who he is. And I don't even I think I deleted it the second I saw it, but I screenshotted it, and I was like, this is gonna be a video. But other than that, pretty normal messages, like, just, you know, hey, like, I like your videos and stuff. I've gotten invited to a couple weddings. Some people want like pictures of my feet. Some weird woman was like, that one's weird. some woman's like, I'm pregnant, I'm gonna give birth any day, could you send me a video like encouraging me? And I was like, I could do that, of course. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Just, you know, some weird messages, but those are like Instagram DMs. Other than that, like, on the actual videos, most people are chill, like, nothing too crazy. But then I get like influxed with, oh, so-and-so made a video about you, or like, you have to duet this person. So those are always fun, and a challenge, because I primarily make the videos by myself. So now they're like, you got to duet. Like, I'm like, all right, we'll do it.
One of the things that I've loved about the TikTok platform is it does seem to be quite supportive. There seems to be a lot less vitriol on TikTok, and maybe I'm not in the right places, but a lot less vitriol on TikTok than on a place like Instagram or Facebook. There's a lot less kind of trading of barbs. Now, maybe that's because people are in a feel-good place when they're watching your videos, but that's kind of what I've found.
Yeah, especially, well, I know on TikTok, I think it's a default setting, but most TikTok accounts default where it'll weed out the negative comments. Like, it'll get rid of negative comments. I think so, yeah. Because I think I looked back after I really started blowing up, and I was like, you know, I was like, the kind of comments, I was like, do I have settings set like that? So I think there's a default where you don't see like super negative, rude, mean comments. They'll filter them, or like harmful comments. Okay. They'll filter them out. But yeah, I haven't seen anything too negative. But like on other people's videos, if you do see something mean, I think we're just in the age of social media where no one is putting up with. Yep. You know, if you're commenting on someone's body, there's 15 people behind you who just watched the video, clicked on it, saw your comment, and they're going to tell you how it is. Like, then don't just, all you have to do, and people have made a bunch of videos that have gone viral of like, if you don't like someone's videos or their content, it's the easiest app in the world. Just swipe up and you're already watching another 60 seconds of something else. So I think the quote unquote, like, policing of TikTok negative comments is it's in a good space right now. as TikTok is like super blowing up, but I think people are, I don't even know if it's more respectful. People are just way more on top of negative. It's like, why are you even commenting? Like, just move on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like Thumper used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everyone should have watched that movie. They would all know the rule.
Throwing it back to Disney.
Yeah.
Let's go through some of your favorites or some, you know, what is the favorite, your favorite video right now? Is it, I mean, are you going to default to Alloy or do you have a personal favorite outside of that?
My favorite video that I've done, I'm trying to think. It's like you said, some of them, I'm trying to think now. Cause some of them, I know cause I made them and I'm like, well, this was super fun to make or like it came so much more naturally. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. The walkie-talkie ones I always loved because those were right off the top of my head. I sit and I'm like making up numbers that you would yell into a walkie-talkie and then making up a situation. And people were like, oh, I know what those numbers mean. I'm like, I didn't know they meant anything. Like, I didn't expect you to see the video. So I'm just yelling like, you know, blue 42, which is like a football mm-hmm. call, like blue 42. Let me see. I'm trying to think. The birthday one I did was pretty cool. I like how it was edited together for my 25th birthday. I did like I made Alloy a Hawaiian shirt and we were matching.
Cause Hawaiian shirts are big for you. You have quite a collection.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of my favorite videos. There's just so many, all of them come out. I don't know why I'm spacing out on the top of my head of what a good one is. Can I look them up for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. Look them up. Okay. And you play a variety of characters as well. Like you said, you have the deer character, the grandma character, the blue check mark character. Any new ones that you're going to introduce that are in the book or on the list that are going to be coming soon, or is that just kind of whimsical?
Any whenever? New ones?
Yeah,
I don't think so. All of those characters did, except for the blue check mark one. That one was born out of TikTok. But the grandma one I did in college. I was dressed up as a grandma for Halloween and I brought it back because I posted an old video of that. And then the deer one was a costume that I did in high school for like a one act comedy play that I was in. And I was like, well, I kind of know how to do the makeup. It's been sitting in my room for years. And I was like, we'll try that again. But no, not really. Sometimes I'll throw on an accent in my videos and I don't know where the accent comes from. It's always like a country twang for some reason, or it's like a heavy, or it's like I'll try and do like a New York accent. Sure. It's not even me trying to put them on. It's just, it's like, as I talk faster, if I want to slow it down, I'll like throw in an accent to try and like trick myself almost to be like, oh, how are you going to say this next word? Yeah. Okay. I think one video it blew up. It has 7 million views on it. It's one of my, cause I love when things are born out of an actual event. So I was hanging out with my friends and my one friend goes, you left your bag in my car. And I was like, what bag? Like, I didn't even know about the bag. So I was like, oh, what bag? And he gives it to me. And I was like, I'm not going to open this. I think I might've sneaked a peek, but I was like, I'm not going to open this until on camera. So I opened it on camera. And I think the bag must have been from like an old Halloween. There was like a pair of my legging pants, like two goggle face masks, like for snorkeling, and like a hat and like mustaches. And I was like, okay, well, I know I own all this stuff, but how did it get in a bag in your car?
Right.
So I just made a video of me opening it on camera and being like, oh, okay, well, I don't know what that's about. And then at the very end, I put it all together. And I was like, what was I doing with this bag? Like, what were we going to do? Like rob a water park? Cause I got everything on, like a full on disguise. And I think I really liked that one. Cause it was like kind of like a two shot edit and I didn't expect it to go anywhere, but it was built out of a real thing. Cause he just randomly gave me my bag back. And I was like, I didn't even know you had my stuff, but I think that's one of my favorites. And it did really well, but I, you know, again, I didn't expect it to do anything.
That was also, it was fun to go through because everybody can relate to that in some way, shape, or form. You've definitely left a bag, piece of clothing somewhere at a friend's house or whatever, and it comes back to you years later, like, I was looking for that. Now, I don't know if mine have been quite as random as that, but.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect that to be that random either. I don't even know. I couldn't remember how it got in there in the first place.
Yeah. To finish up here, before we have you tell people where to find you, what advice would you have for creatives like yourself pre-blowing up who are making TikTok videos, Instagram, YouTube, whatever? What kind of advice would you give them, kind of being at least on the initial other side of this?
Probably two things. So one, I don't think if you want to blow up and if you want to get a big following, I don't think it hurts to do a little bit of research on the end of like, look, just go on TikTok, not to watch videos, to research. Yeah. What are you seeing? Like on my videos, I know that within a couple seconds, if someone swipes up and doesn't watch the rest of the video, it doesn't get as much exposure.
Right.
So I try and do, when I edit my videos, I'm talking the first second you see me, I'm already talking. I edit them right to the, right on the word. So it doesn't hurt to do a little bit of research and like learn the platform from a creative, think of like you own TikTok and you're like, all right, well, I would, you know, we're going to bump up the videos that start engaging right away. You know, we're not like, don't, I wouldn't necessarily make a bunch of videos that are like comment three people down below. Like you want people to comment like the whole bag one. I, before I even open the bag, I make a comment like, I've been looking for a jacket. I hope my jacket's in here. And all the comments were like, did you find your jacket? Like, make people engage with you in a natural way. Everyone's like, did you find your jacket? Because I never brought it up again. And I was like, no, I never did. And I love that jacket. So
yeah.
I think engaging in an organic way.
Okay.
And then just doing a little bit of research. And then the other thing is, like I said, buying the cactus, you know, even though my friend said, don't do it. And a lot of the props that I do have are from high school. We used to go crazy at football games and wear all kinds of wigs and hats. So I have a whole bin of stuff. And I remember my mom being like, why am I buying you this? Like, this is such a waste of money.
Sure.
And now I use them every day in my videos. So I think don't ever let people tell you that what you're doing is like stupid. Sometimes you just got to buy the cactus. Sometimes you just got to buy the wig. Yeah. Only you know, you see what the potential is. So just do what you just do what comes to you, I guess.
I think we need some Christine Snaps merch. Just buy the cactus. Sometimes you just got to buy the cactus.
You just, that'd be on the back, a picture of a little alloy on the front. But right. Like sometimes you just got to buy the cactus.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one. I might write that down. Yeah.
Well, Christine, where can people find you online?
Okay. So on TikTok, they're all pretty much the same, but on TikTok, it's Christine's Snaps. On Instagram, it's Christine's_Snaps with two S's on the end. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Facebook and YouTube as well as Christine Snaps. And I kind of just repost my videos everywhere. And then I'm really trying to get into the YouTube platform. So I'm posting like a new video, like every week, just new stuff that I'm not doing in my TikToks, just random events that I'm also doing.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Christine, thanks so much for joining us today in Influencer Business. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for letting me ramble for an hour and realize, and I think maybe it's hit me a little bit more that all of this is happening. So it's a good like debriefing of an hour. So thank you.
Thank you again, Christine, for joining us today. An awesome conversation. If you don't already follow her, make sure you hit her up Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Christine Snaps is usually what she goes by. But before I let you go, a few things I want to pull out from the conversation. There's so many different things that we talked about and a bunch of different takeaways. The first thing is explore and experiment. Christine was making these videos long before TikTok came around. She was doing it because it was fun. She really enjoyed it. And that leads me into another point. Cultivate these pastimes that you love. You never know when they're going to come into play. You never know when they're going to bear fruit. And if they're fun, spend time on them. Cultivate them. You don't have to fit into a specific box when it comes to creating content. And as Christine has shown, as you cultivate these pastimes that you love, you might find that you have an audience for them. The other thing I wanted to mention was she's constantly testing. She's doing all sorts of different bits. She has a binder full of them and she's, you know, testing these different things out. And then when she finds something that she does like, she doubles down on it, or finds something that the audience does like, she doubles down on them. So don't be afraid. Again, don't feel like you have to fit into a box. Don't be afraid to experiment. Do it, because that is how you figure out what people like, what people don't like, and even what you like or what you don't like. Another thing that we talked about was she didn't just fall into this. She's been honing her craft for years. She really likes comedy. She always thought she was going to be behind the scenes, but she has been honing her craft. She's been sending Snapchat stories to her friends for a long time and working and working and working. So yeah, she had a video with a cactus that took off, but there are years of content creation that came before that that honed her skills. And it was only a matter of time until one of her videos took off. The last thing I'll say is
don't feel like you need to have a plan. Christine mentioned on the podcast that she feels like she needs to have a plan, but you don't, right? She's only 25. And whether you're 25, 32, life comes at you fast. You never know which direction it's going to take you. So be executing with intention and the answer will show itself. As always, if you like what you heard today on the podcast, make sure you leave us that 5-star rating and give us that glowing review. We really do appreciate it. It certainly does help. Big shout out to Pete Crimi and the team over at Sound Lounge for always making us sound better over the air than we do in person. Thank you again for joining us today on this episode of Influencer Business. I'm Rich Scudellari, and we'll see you next time.